I also will see how far you can get. If we do enough shlokas in this session, it may not need to go 1.5 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. But let us see. But I have 1.5 hours, you know.
Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha Ramana Hari Bo. Jai Jai Radha Raman 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 Hari Bo. Hari Bo. Krishna Kanhaiya Lal Ki Jai.
कताक्ष किरणाचांत नमन मोहाब्धये नमः अनंतानंद कृष्णाय जगन्मंगलमूर्तये अहमस्मि सदा भामी कदाचिन्नाहम् अप्रियः ब्रह्मैवाहमतः सिद्धम् सच्चिदानन्दलक्षणम् मय्येवोदेति चिद्व्योम्नि जगद्गन्धर्वपत्तनम् अतोहं न कथं ब्रह्मा सर्वज्ञं सर्वकारणम् न स्वत प्रत्यभिज्ञानात् निरंशत्वान्न चान्यतः न चाश्रय विनाशान्मे विनाशस्यादनाश्रयात् Nashlosha plosha vikleda. Again, Nashosha plosha vikleda. Chedash chinnavaso mama. Satyairapyanilagnyambhaha. Shastrai kimutakalpitaihi. Abharupasya vishvasya. Bhanam bhasannithervina. Kadachinnavakalpita. Bhachaham tena sarvaga. Nahi vanadrite sattvam. Narte bhanam chito chitaha. Chitsambandhopi nadhyasat. Rite tena amadvayaha. Nadeho nendriyam chaham. Naprano namano nathihi. Mamata parirabdhatvat. Akridatvadidam dhiyaha. Sakshi sarvanvita prayan. Aham naham kadachana. Parinama paricheda. Paritape rupaplavat. So he says, I am Sakshi, the witness. I am all pervasive, sarvanvita priyan, and I am always dear to my own self, dears to myself. And the ego or the ahankar, or what we club together as the whole apparatus, or what is called as conditioning. So many names are given for. So sometimes we say ego, body, mind, intellect, all the conditioning, all the instruments, means the whole personality. So many words are used for that. Sometimes antakkarana word is used. So all of this is referring to one and the same thing. It says they all go through parinama. Parinama is modifications, changes. Then paricheda, all sorts of limitations. I feel sometimes I'm powerless, helpless, this, that, small, you know. Paricheda, brokenness, finitude. And then also paritapa means afflictions, sorrows, miseries, all things that is not going on in me. I am the witness of all of them. Because I can see it. There's another rule, you know. That rule is the seen and the seer cannot be one and same. That rule holds generally in life on the whole. The holder and the held cannot be one and same. This is holder and this which is held. Cannot be one and same. This hand cannot hold itself. It can hold everything else, but cannot hold itself. You see? Just as the holder and the held cannot be one and same, the seer and the seen cannot be one and same. So if I am seeing all of these modifications, if I am seeing all of these limitations, if I am seeing all of these sorrows, if I am seeing all of these things going on, that means the seer is different from them. Drigeva natu drishyate. The seer, the drig, who sees, could never be seen. What a wonderful thing. Your eyes see everything in this world, right? But your eyes cannot see your eyes. How nice. You say, no, I can see my eye in the mirror. That is not your eye. You're seeing a reflection of your eye, isn't it? You can't see your eye. Imagine that. You have come into this world, you'll live 80 or 90, 100 years, and you'll see everything on this earth. But the eyes which saw them will never be seen. How mysterious this world has been made. And use those eyes to see everything, and they themselves will never be seen. So, Sakshi, I am the witness, I am not those things. The seer can never be the same as the seen, the witness, Sakshi. So, if there is any thing which is going on in them, then it belongs to them, not to me. Means body, mind, intellect. Anything which is going on in the body, mind, intellect belongs to body, mind, intellect. Now that argument is taken now further, different standpoint again. See now, this is number 10. Supte hamina drishyante. Dukkha dosha pravrittayah. Atastasyeva samsarah. Name samsar trisakshinah. Supte ahami nadrishyante. Means in deep sleep, the ego, ahami, the ego, he goes to sleep also. And dukkha dosha pravrittayah na drishyante. When the ego goes to sleep, all the sorrows of the ego also go to sleep. So no sorrows are seen. No miseries, no limitations, no nothing. All the things that he suffers when he's awake, when that ego, ahankar, goes to sleep, therefore, the world of plurality and all such things. Ataha tasya eva samsaraha. Samsara belongs to that ego. Samsara doesn't belong to me. When the ego goes to sleep, samsara goes to sleep. And when the ego wakes up, samsara wakes up. We had seen this point before. Name samsar tri sakshinaha. The sakshi doesn't have any samsara. The seer, a good thing you know. Otherwise, I tell you, it's a good thing, but you know, this human being can adjust himself to anything in this world. He can get joy out of misery. Something sadistic, isn't it? There's something called sadism or something. People get joy out of? What a jiva, all things are possible for this jiva. When he goes and he sees a movie, you know, some movie going on some screen, and he sits there, and they're crying, he cries. They're dancing, he dances. And long after he leaves that movie theater, that movie is still with him. He's still feeling all those emotions and all. And some people carry those emotions for their whole life. See, when we were young, there was one movie came out, that name movie is Shole. Shole, you know? And that Gabbar Singh, he killed that Amitabh Bachchan. Oh, bapre. Up till now, I hear people talking about that. Oh, I don't like that conclusion of that movie, you know. Why Gabbar Singh had to kill him? Because Amitabh Bachchan was a big star, you know. And this Daku killed him. So we carry that thing. Now see, that which is they're playing on a screen, a false thing, made up, you know, all that 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, put together and made this whole. Those actors also don't know what is coming in that. Because they do one scene 25 times and they don't know which one of the 25 they'll put there. Really? That is how it is done only. I've seen them make these movies. So they also don't know. But when we go and we see that whole thing put together, oh. Crying, we cry. We take on all that thing which is going on there. It means we identify with that thing. In the same way, this ego, he's seeing all of these things going on in samsara. This movie of samsara he is seeing. And sometimes the movie of samsara makes him cry. Sometimes it makes him laugh. And then we identify with this ego. And now we also become samsari. Huh? And only when we disidentify with that ego, then only all our samsara will be over. But we have to understand what the verse is telling this point. What samsara does not belong to me. It belongs to the ego. And so, and the proof is, when ego sleeps, samsara sleeps. When ego wakes, samsara wakes. That is the point. Otherwise, we remain samsari for life after life after life. Once I heard on Swamiji telling, you know, samsari, you know, he who holds on to samsari. I mean, this ego is holding on to something of the world. Something. Now see, this same ego is enlivened by Atma Chaitanya. So the ego is in a privileged position. The ego is enlivened by Atma Chaitanya, but on the outside, he's turned his attention to all the things of the world. If he only turns within to find out that principle which enlivens him, which illumines him, which makes him alive, if he turns inside, then the samsara will be gone. But he doesn't turn within, he turns outside. In Kathopanishad, very nicely it is explained there. Paran chikhani vyatrinat svayambhu tasmat parang pashyanti nantaratma. That the attention is made to go outside, and then nobody sees the antaratma, the self. Like that. So, of course, that is the joy and challenge of human existence. It's a joy also. See, when one team in football match, they have these big guys coming on this side and this side, and they clash with each other, right? It's a big challenge to get that ball from one side to the other side. A big challenge, but that is the joy also. Well, who will go to look? So, well, no, everybody move and you just walk with the ball there. Who will go to watch this match? Nobody will watch. So the joy is really the challenge also, isn't it? So this whole sadhana should be seen like that only. The senses and all the attention is paid, put outside. But the joy and the challenge is to turn that thing inside. It is a big challenge, but that should be joyous also. Otherwise, what you do? Once our Pujya Guruji, he had gone to somebody's house. So in that house, that daughter-in-law was there. You know, she got married from some other house and came here. And now, because she is daughter-in-law, she has to do all of this housework and cook and clean, tiyadi, or feed everybody. And then if any food remains, she gets. So then she told Guruji, Swamiji, you are so lucky. You took the easy path. Swamiji said, yes, why will I take the difficult path when there's an easy path, you know? Such an easy path, I'll take that difficult path. All these things we have to do. Then at some other time, he went to some other house. Then that husband is telling, Swamiji, you sannyasis, you have to renounce all comfort, all money, this property, this, that. You have to renounce everything. You can't own this, own that. No, no. You took renunciation difficult for me. You took the difficult path. Now my path is very easy. I eat what I want, drink what I want, go when I want, come, do that. You sannyasis can't do like this, you know. Such a difficult part of renunciation. Then Guruji said, yes, why will I take that easy part which everybody is taking? I'll take a part which is more challenging, you know. That the path everybody is taking already. Oh, what glory is there in that path? But anyway, Mahatma sees the world like this. Also this sadhana and this renunciation and study and turning the mind inside and all of this is a challenging part. So, but that is the joy in it. Why to take the easy path everybody is already going? And one more thing, you know. The rule of this world is nothing comes easily. Nothing good comes easily. Anything good will need some good effort also. In Trinidad language you say, good thing no cheap, and cheap thing no good. It requires some effort, you know. So, samsara really belongs to the ego, ahankar, the individual. When the individual sleeps, samsara doesn't belong to me. So you say, realize that and dissociate with this ego. That is the idea. Dissociate with that ego. Now again, it is further elaborated in the next verse also. Supta suptim na janati. Na supte swapna jagarau. Jagrat swapna sushupti naam. Sakshyato hamatad-dashaha. Let's see. He says, suptaha. Suptaha means the sleeper. The one who is sleeping. That means ego. Just now we saw, na? It's the ego that goes to sleep. So suptaha, he is subject of the sentence. Suptim na janati. That is the first sentence. He doesn't know sleep. The one who is sleeping, he does not know he is sleeping. If I know that I am sleeping, that means you are not sleeping. You correct or not? If I know I am sleeping, that means I am not sleeping. That means I am awake and I am saying, I am sleeping. How can it be? So the sleeper does not know he is sleeping. That is the first sentence. Huh? Then, na asupte. Asupte means consciousness. The one who does not sleep. The one who does not sleep, the reality. Good thing the reality doesn't sleep, you know. If Bhagavan is to go to sleep, we would have all been in trouble. Well, actually, when it says in Pralaya and all, Bhagavan goes to sleep. Brahmaji, one night he sleeps. And one day he wakes up, like that. But the absolute reality is what is being spoken about here. Like the sun. The sun, does it ever set? No. It may appear to us to set. But it doesn't set. When it leaves our side of the earth, it just goes. And, well, in fact, it doesn't go also. We turn. But you see how we live an upside down life. Everything in our life is upside down. We are rising and we are setting. But we say the sun is rising and setting. And the first vision in the morning is false. Right at sunrise itself, we are greeted with falsity. So anyway, he says, this Atma, or the self, is asupta. In seven cases, asupte. Means doesn't sleep. In that self, swapna, na swapna jagarau. That there is no dream or waking or any such thing that a dream or deep sleep in that self. Self is always, like in the sun, there is no such thing as setting, rising, sleeping, nothing. Sun is always bright, 24/7. Or 365, whatever you want to say. And like that, jagrat swapna sushupti naam sakshi ataha aham atad dashaha. Means, I am the sakshi of the three states, jagrat, swapna, and sushupti. I am the witness of the waking state, I am the witness of the dream state, and I am the witness of the deep sleep state. Witness here means I am the illuminator. Illuminator. It means I keep shining as the light of consciousness, whether the antakarana or the ego, that antakarana is in waking state, dream state, or deep sleep state. It doesn't matter to me. I am the one who is illumining that. So, in the waking state, I illumine the presence of all these objects. I am illumining the antakarana, which is experiencing all of these objects. In the dream state, I am illumining the antakarana, which has concocted a whole new world. And in the deep sleep state, I am illumining the antakarana, which has gone into laya and knows nothing. So I am illumining the absence of objects in deep sleep state. I am still there illumining the absence of all objects. That's why in deep sleep, I knew nothing. Oh, when we wake up, we say, the waking antakarana now says, I knew nothing. So if you knew nothing, means the antakarana knew nothing. How did you know that you knew nothing? Somebody had to have been there to illumine that state also, isn't it? But that will be dealt with more in further, if just now, again. It is a very nice line of thinking. I am the Sakshi who is illumining all the three states, and it is not that I am the one who is going through wake, dream, and deep sleep. See, this idea continues. How these three states cannot belong to me? They belong to the antakarana only. See this here, this number 12. Vijnana virati suptihi. Tajjanma swapna jagarau. Tatsakshina katham me syuhu. Nitya jnanasya te trayaha. See, vijnana, it is describing here the deep sleep state. What is this deep sleep state? It says in the first line only. Vijnana virati suptihi. Supti is what? The total cessation of knowledge of particular objects. So when I lie down on my bed, and then there is this cessation of knowledge of particular objects, I know nothing. I don't know any particular object. Even the body which is sleeping on that bed also, I don't know. That is why when we kick somebody in sleep, it doesn't count. Because I am on our way of that body also, which is there, isn't it? One husband got up in the morning and he told that wife, "Do you know, in your sleep last night, you were saying all bad things about me." That wife said, "Who was sleeping?" "I was not asleep." And he said, if you really want anybody to listen to you 100%, you talk in your sleep. Because anybody talking in their sleep, we are all ears, isn't it? But I am unaware of that body totally. So the cessation of any particularized knowledge, any particular piece of knowledge, cessation of that is called as deep sleep. So, vijnana virati suptihi tad janma swapna jagaro. Now, the arising of any particular knowledge is either dream or wake. Because in both dream and wake, there is particular knowledge. In dream, there is knowledge of some objects also, isn't it? Some tiger chasing me or some elephant. 1 week, 2 weeks ago, I dreamt an elephant was chasing me. But I outdid him because, you know, they can't turn too fast. They're not very good at turning on. So, the arising of particularized knowledge is either dream or wake. And now you see there's one more point which is coming there, which Shastras talk about, you know. Really, there is no fundamental way to distinguish between dream and wake state. The two of them fall on the same level of, or same order of reality. In other words, you could very well be dreaming you're in this camp. And you awaken and realize that you are in your bed at home. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever goes on in this waking state is the same thing that goes on in the dream state. It's very difficult to distinguish both of them. But that's why he says now, see, the birth of particularized knowledge, of any particular knowledge, that is dream or wake. Tat sakshinaha katham me syuhu. How can they belong to the sakshi? How can these three, which three just now, deep sleep, dream, and wake, belong to the sakshi, which is of the nature of pure knowledge? Nitya jnanasyate trayaha, diste trayaha tat sakshinaha katham. Me nitya jnanasya. I am of the nature of nitya jnana. All the time shining. So whether the antakarana is awake, dream, or deep sleep, it doesn't matter. I am still shining there and illumining all of that. This is the teaching of Vedanta. Now see, logic and rationality and all such thing has its limits, you know. Logic can point us in a direction, but logic cannot deliver a result. Because of logic, my mind can be pointed in a certain direction. But in fact, by logic, we are pointed in the direction of Atma. The Guru also points the Atma. The Shastras point out the Atma, but none of them can deliver Atma. Because Atma is not something to be delivered. You cannot call UPS and tell, you know, bring Atma. Or FedEx. Atma is not the result of any activity or act. You see, it is the Shastras, the Guru, the logic, everything, they point the direction of the Atma and they tell. In this pointing also, they tell. Really speaking, you cannot bring Atma, cannot get Atma, cannot achieve Atma, cannot attain Atma. Because how will you become what you already are? You can't become what you are. If somebody tells you, okay, now become a human being. How will you become? You can't become. You're already human being. You can't become what you are. So I am that self. So then when all of this pointing is going on by Shastras, by Yukti, by Guru and all, it is pointing to dissolve the antakarana, or don't give reality to the antakarana as me. That wrong understanding that I am this antakarana or I am this apparatus, body, mind, intellect. That wrong knowledge has to be eliminated. Then what about right knowledge? We only have to remove the cloud from the sun, you know. We don't have to make sun shine like that. So it is pointing, it is logic. This verse is telling, look, I am not all of this antakarana and all the things that are going on in the antakarana. The three states, wake, dream, and deep sleep. I am the one who is illumining all three of them. How can I be them when they come and go by their own? Now, further to that, this antakarana is going through, now in two verses it will be discussed, antakarana, or the whole apparatus, body, mind, intellect. They are going through shadvikar. Shadvikar means six changes. Now it will be seen that these six changes cannot belong to me. That is, in the next two verses, is going to try to show this thing, how they cannot belong to me. Now see that. Shadvikaravatam veta. Nirvikaro hamanyatha. Tadvikaranusanthanam. Sarvathanavakalpate. This body, mind, intellect, but I will use only body, mind, intellect. That is easier. You all know that term, no? Body, mind, intellect, that phrase. This body, mind, intellect is Shadvikaravatam. Shadvikaravat. Shadvikara means it is this body, mind, intellect that is going through six changes. The six changes is not there in your note. Let me tell you this. That is called asti jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, and vinashyati iti shadvikaraha. It means to say, this BMI at one time asti, it is there in some seed form. The BMI is there in some seed form, like in the womb. Then what? Jayate. It is born. Yes. So it goes from one state to another. So going from one state to another is called as vikar. So it goes from the seed state to now it is born. And when it comes out like that. And if it doesn't, then... If it doesn't cry, it means crying in human birth is a sign of healthy. So you must cry some more. So people know you are healthy. What a wonderful thing. What all ironic things about human birth, isn't it? If you don't cry also, we'll make you cry. So, from asti, in some seed state, jayate, is born. Then vardhate, grows. From childhood, he grows to, what is that? From shishu to kumar, and ityadi, goes like that. Bala, kumar, ityadi. Then, that is vardhate, grows. Then viparinamate, he changes also. So, on all body, mind, intellect there, changing, all of them. So not only growth, but change. And human beings, they all like all of these things also. Everybody, when he's born, hey, he looks like his mother. After 2 months, now I think he looks like his father. Then after 1 year, now I think he looks like his grandfather. And people go on and on like that, isn't it? They keep, these changes will take place and people go on. And then you don't know what he'll turn out to be. Something totally different. No grandfather, grandmother, nothing. He's a great-grandfather. So, sometimes he looks like a print of his parents. Or sometimes they have a good mix. And we make all science about that also. If he's a boy and looks like his mother, he'll be fortunate. If she's a girl and looks like her father, she'll be fortunate. All things, people make up all, you know, we like to entertain ourselves with all of these things also. But in this Shadvikar, we take delight. Viparinamate, he goes on changing. Apakshiyate, but slowly, slowly also. Waning, waning, waning. BMI. And then finally, akhirme. Vinashyati. Now, these six vikaras, they are there. Six changes. He says, tad vikara anusandhanam sarvatha na avakalpate. It is not possible to imagine that I will know or I will remember these changes if I was not unchanging. Had I not been unchanging, I will not be able to know all of these changes. Like, for instance, if cars are passing on the street, right? Then we have to count cars. We cannot count cars if I am sitting in one of those cars. Isn't it? I cannot be moving along with one of the cars. How will I count them? I have to be stationary then. Huh? I tell you that simple logic. I have to be stationary. So, since I can know all of these changes, I can remember all of these. I remember, see, I told you yesterday, this body has changed. Every 7 years it changes. And I don't look anything like I used to look. I remember my grandfather showing me a picture of himself when he was 19 years old. By the time I knew my grandfather, he was like in his 60s and all, right? Maybe 50s, 60s. Then he showed me a picture of himself when he was 19 years old. Grandfather on paternal side, we call Aja. I never believed Aja that it was his picture. No matter how many times he told me. Only after he died and all, I saw that picture again. Then if Aja said it's Aja, then I believe. You never know. See, that same person. You can't know. No. He said, yes, it is me. So then who said it is me? The one who was not changing, isn't it? If you look at this picture of this body and picture of that body, 19 and 60. Now, on what basis is he saying it is still me? Because there was something in some element in that whole thing which was not changing. Because of that element which is not changing, we remember it is me, the same person. It's not a different person. Now, this still has to be clarified a little bit further. So the next verse also speaks about this same thing. Huh? See, some more thought has to be given to this. Tena tena hi rupena jayate liyate muhu vikari vastunastesham anusanthatrita kutaha. In Bauddha Dharma, there is something called Kshanikavada. Kshanikavada. Kshanikavada means there is one strain of Buddhist thought which says that really we are being born every moment and dying every moment. Born, we are born and we die. We are born, in other words, I'm dying in the youth, and an adult person is being born. What is done in successive stages? Kshanika Vijnanavada. The Kshanika Vijnanavada doesn't take this one thing into consideration. What is that? That if I die now and I'm reborn the next moment, let us say, every moment I'm dying and being reborn. It means that there is no continuity. It will mean that there is no continuity in my personality because an old one dies and a new one is born. So then who will be there to remember all the things which I experience in childhood, for instance? So Vedanta doesn't accept this Kshanika Vijnanavada of the Buddhist. So this verse is given for that. And also to clarify the previous verse. Now see what it says. Tena tena hi rupena jayate liyate muhu. In different forms, successive forms, I am born. Tena tena hi rupena. In different successive forms, I am born. Means I die and I am born in a new form. I die again, I am born in a new form. And jayate liyate muhu again and again. Born and die. Take birth and die. Take birth and die. Then vikari vastunaha tesham anusandhatrita kutaha. Who will be there to remember all the continuous memories which I have of childhood and coming up all the way? Because I was the one who experienced something, he died. A new one is born. Then he experienced something and there died. But that type of experience we don't have. Nobody has. I am the same person who experienced a broken arm when I was 8 years old. There's a continuous memory. In fact, I did actually have that. Yeah, cast under the string tied to your neck like that. How, on what basis I will be saying it is the same person if every moment I'm dying and a new person is born? So this is telling that there is a continuous entity, one who is not born or doesn't die in all the changes, shadavikar, whichever six changes are taking place. And again, even if we presume that we die and we are being born every moment, he gives one further argument now in the next verse. See that? To show that this is not so. What is this further argument? See? Nachasva janmanasham va drashtum arhati kashchana tau hi pragut tara bhava charama prathama kshanau. He says, okay, suppose somebody raises the argument that yes, atma itself knows its own changes. The atma changes what? Shadvikar. Asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. The atma is going through all of this and he knows. Just like our antakarana means body, the intellect, mind and intellect, manachitta buddhi ahankar. We know that the body was this size, this weight, now it has become this size, this weight, you know? Like, we know that. So why not the Atma knows like that also? The Atma is going through all of these six changes and it knows. This verse is telling, yes, it may know, it is possible, but there are two out of those six changes which it cannot know. And that is birth and death. Even this antakarana here, manachitta buddhi ahankar, doesn't know its own birth and death. Two out of six. The first, second and last. It doesn't know. Nobody knows when we were born. That is why nobody knows their parent correctly. No, the parent had to tell, I am your parent. That one boy, he told that father and mother, when I am getting married, I will not invite both of you. They said, why? He said, because when you got married, you did not invite me. Now, how is it possible they'll invite him when they got married? Because of that marriage, he was the product, isn't it? He was produced from that marriage. He is the effect only. And that effect cannot know the cause. Because of that cause, only this effect was produced. He cannot know. And no jiva can know its birth and death. In the very same way, this atma, let us presume that the atma is going through six changes. On this basis, the atma is unchangeable. Avyaya, non-changing, not changing. So if the atma were going through these six changes, two of those changes it will not know for sure. That is birth and death, which is given in very technical language in that last line. Ovapira Sanskrit is. See what is his birth and death? He says, prag uttara abhava charama pratama kshanau. These two moments. What is birth and what is death? Birth is the last moment of prior non-existence. And death is the last moment of posterior non-existence. And that means simply this thing. Birth is, prior to my birth, I was not there. So that not being there, That is a state of not being there. When that state comes to an end, that's called prag uttara bhava. When that state comes to an end, that means now both is there. That means I'm there. Then now I'm there. Now, pretty soon I will not be there. So that last moment, before I will not be there, that is called a death. That is what it is trying to say. But it says in very complex language. But don't worry, we all know what is birth and death. The only thing is, we don't know when, isn't it? We don't know when we were born, nor, my friend, maybe we were maybe young teenagers, 12, 14, maybe like that, 14, 15, perhaps. Then he one day told me, I was wondering, when I die, how would I know? That man was telling me, boy, we were like that age only. I said, I also wonder the same thing, When we die, how we would know? Then I came to the conclusion that we would not know that we have died. Since that is the case, how do I know that I have not died already? Because if you will not know, then how do you know that you have not already died? But of course, later on in Vedanta and all that all became, when we can see particularized thing, there's no like we are seeing here. That means I am awake and alive, isn't it? You can see particular things. I am very much alive. But those two moments of birth and death is not capable for us to know. So he said, if somebody were to conclude that the Atma is also going through all of these changes of birth and asti jayate vardate ityadi, if Atma is going through all of these, it will not be possible for the Atma itself to know birth and death. If you think about that logically, you will see. Now, birth, let us say, you study it now. So birth means prior to that I was not there. Nobody is there. Then suddenly, it comes. So the prior moment of non-existence, that prior moment where I was non-existing, there was nobody to know that moment. Isn't it? Only after he has come into being, now there's somebody to know this moment. But that prior moment when I was not there, there's nobody to know that moment. Then how do you call this birth then? There has to be somebody who knows that prior to that, I am not. How is that possible? It's not possible for somebody to be there to say, I am not. If you are saying I am not, that means you are. So it's not possible to know this thing called as. In fact, it is based on this logic also. I told you that the rishis do not accept creation. There is no such thing as creation. Creation means previously nothing was. Nothing was, right? So only God has to be there. Then he now created the whole world. If he created this world, then you will ask, what time? That means to say time has to be pre-existing. And any action, an action can only happen in time and space. So if the act of creation is to take place, it needs time. Then we say, no. Okay, stop. First he created time. Then again you ask, which time? Because that is also an act, right? Creating time is also an act. So which time did he create? Because all actions have a beginning and an end. So you're presupposing time. So we don't accept, in the very same way, we don't accept for ourselves birth and death. That is why we, the Gita goes on saying, Ajo Nitya Shashvato Yam Purana. Everywhere in the Upanishad, I am Ajaha. Ajaha means unborn. And this body, mind, and intellect, which is born, which is only names and forms, they are born, they come and go. So they have, you know, the birth and death and all the vikara and all of that sort of thing. But the one constant element that is there, that is the witness of all of this, doesn't have any of this birth, death, vardhate, viparinamate, nothing. Then somebody may suggest that the self also, the Atma, has ignorance, or that ignorance is real, you know. Now the topic of ignorance in three verses are dealt with. This whole topic of ignorance. People's biggest question is this. See, once Arundev, you know? Arundev is the one who drives the chariot of Surya Bhagwan. In our Puranas. And you see, the Puranas had all of these things clear from a long time ago. Eh? Arun drives a chariot, and the chariot has seven horses. And the rainbow has how many colors? Light has seven colors. When you break it up, yeah, you get seven colors. And how the rishis knew that Arun's chariot has seven horses, and he comes before sun. He's in front all the time. Seven horses. And Arjuna's chariot had? Four horses. There's supposed to be five, because five senses, you know. But that there's a trick in that. This tongue, you know, this fellow has two. Tongue has taste and touch also. With tongue you can touch anything. So no need for five horses, when four can do the job. And tongue also, tongue is the most powerful instrument. Huh? Tongue also has vak. If you can control tongue, if any sadhak can control tongue, he's good to go. So Arundev told Surya Bhagwan, Prabhu, on my day off, you know when is his day off? His day off is just now you had eclipse. On my day off, I want to invite you home for dinner. You come to my place. And I want you to see something novel which you had not seen before. So Bhagavan Surya Bhagavan said, what? What I have not seen? He said, under my bed, there's something called darkness. So I want you to come there for the first time in your life. You will see darkness. Now you just think. If Surya Bhagwan comes there and goes and looks under that bed, he will see any darkness? Is it possible for Surya Bhagwan to see darkness? Not possible. It's unimaginable. Impossible from every standpoint. Because the moment he goes under there, so in this reality, ignorance is not possible. Then devotee's question is, then how am I ignorant? This is a wonderful question, you know. And for answer for this thing, you have to go on doing a lot of reflection again and again. And this ignorance is such a mysterious and most wonderful thing. The more and more you reflect, the more and more you know that he's not there and he scampers away. Like when Surya Bhagwan comes to see that darkness, what happens to the darkness? Goes away. So the more we can reflect, the easier this thing which we are searching for, which is called ignorance, that will disappear. Bhagwan Shankaracharya has written a most wonderful five verses called as Maya Panchakam. In his Maya Panchakam, all the lines start with the self, the Atma. So somebody asked, I thought you were writing about Maya. How come you're starting with Atma in every verse? Then Bhagwan Shankaracharya said, listen, you want to know about ignorance or you want to know about knowledge? What we want to know? We want to know about knowledge, isn't it? We don't want to know about ignorance. Somebody went to Swami Tapovanji Maharaj also and started asking all these questions about ignorance. Swamiji said, you want to know about ignorance or knowledge? But the sadhaka's mind is never satisfied until, it means intellect. Intellectual curiosity. Have you heard curiosity kill the cat? I saw a nice cartoon. That cat is in the hospital. And you know, they take that bandage and they band up the whole body and everything, and only his eyes are showing like that. And one leg is on a sling like this and tied up there. And one leg is, that cat is now. And it is written in the bottom of that cartoon. Slightly curious cat. Because if he was totally curious, he would have been. He was only slightly curious. The intellect is so curious that he wants to know everything. So now what they tell? Well, the ignorance seems to be there until you have done some inquiry. That is the whole point of the next three verses. The ignorance seems to be there until you have done some inquiry. Now see this thing. It starts off in number 16, where some people argue that ignorance is real and all. We say no. Na prakashe hamityuktihi yat prakashe kabandhana swaprakasham tamatmanam aprakashakatham spreshet. He says, na prakashe aham iti uktihi. This ukti, this statement. Ukti means statement. This statement like what? Na prakashe aham. I do not know. When we say, think along with this, huh? I do not know. That is proof that I know or not. I know I am making this statement, correct or not? I do not know. Do you know that you just made the statement? Well, of course. I know that I made the statement. So then what is my nature? Ignorance or knowledge? When I say, I do not know, I know that I am making this statement. So this ukti, this statement, is known by me. So my nature is not ignorance, my nature is knowledge. See how easy it is. Na prakashe ahamiti uktihi yat prakashe kabandhana. This is, I am of the nature of knowledge and therefore I know this statement which is made. Though the statement may be saying I do not know, but in truth and in fact it is proof that I know. Because of the consciousness of my own self. Swaprakasham tamatmanam aprakasha katam sprishet. How can the ignorance which is contained in the statement said, I do not know, how can that ignorance touch me who is knowing that statement? Like that. I am the one who knows the statement, therefore my nature is knowledge only. The statement has a content. the content of this statement is, I do not know. But that cannot touch me because I know that I do not know. And I'm always knowing, no matter how many things I do not know, I still know that I do not know. I may be totally ignorant of everything in this world, but I still know that I don't know. All that ignorance could never touch me. No matter what, and in fact and in truth, let me just go through this one more time with you. See, if we make two lists, right? All the things which I know, list one. All the things which I do not know, list two. Which list will be longer? I tell you, list one will pale into insignificance in front of list two. Second thing, let us say in list one we have this many things which we know. And we start really analyzing and inspecting that list one. We will see we don't know that properly also. Tulsi Rashi has written in his Ramayana, in Aranyakanda at one place. He says, Lakshmana is asking to Rama, and the question answer is going on. What is the difference between this Jiva and this Ishvara? There Bhagavan tells Lakshmana, this is Ishvara is the one who knows everything. And the Jiva, he doesn't know. Maya isana apakahu janakahiya so jiv. That Jiva is the one who does not know anything about Maya, I mean this world. Maya isana apakahu. He doesn't know anything about Ishvara. And he doesn't know apu. He in his own self, he doesn't know anything. So what does Jiva knows? So in this list also which we say, well, you know, I know this. If we really look at it, we'll see we really don't know. Even if you belong to cutting edge technology generation, you still don't know. Because you, some superficial things you will know. If somebody was driving me from, who is a peer professor in Harvard University. And they do, in the medical field, his field of specialty is this anesthesia, you know? Anesthesia. So we were discussing that in the class, in the car while from the airport. So when they give this anesthetic, right? Somehow, they suppose they are cutting your knee. When they cut, right? They give anesthetic there, which prevents the messages from going there to the brain. But messages, they jump the synapses of nerve cells like that, right? Because there's a gap. So the message jumps over. So I was asking him, when you give that anesthesia, what prevents it from jumping from one nerve cell to the next? Because when it doesn't jump, it doesn't reach the brain. He says, Swamiji, we don't know. We know that it works. What prevents it from jumping? All we know that it works. How? That we are still studying and all, we don't know, we know. And now this is cutting edge technology, they're studying from everything from, you know. Now, what do we know about anesthesia, really? All we know that it works. So, like this, even if you see the list which we do not know, I mean, which we know, really speaking, we don't know much about that thing. And now this other list, so long. So I have this vast amount, no matter how much of ignorance it may be, but still in the final analysis, I know that I don't know. I know is the paramount. In fact, if I did not know, there would have been nobody to know that I don't know. Isn't it? So I know, I mean, my nature is that knowledge. And this ignorance is just like any other object which I know. I know this now. I know this. I know that. Then I know this statement. I don't know. It's not that my nature is ignorance. My nature is knowledge. That is how I know that I don't know. Now, this is this discussion on pure Vedanta is wonderful also. And you have to just go on reflecting. You just don't think you will get it in a day, but reflect like that. He says, this ignorance survives, and this feeling that I don't know, it survives until I do inquiry. When I do inquiry, it scampers away. Tathapya bhati ko pyeshaha. Vichara bhava jivanaha. Avashyayaschidakashe. Vicharar ko dayavathi. Ignorance seems to appear like a fog or mist in the morning time, you know, when you get up, there's some fog or mist, and then when the sun rises, all this fog or the mist just evaporates. In the very same way, we seem to be ignorant, or ignorance seems to appear in ourselves, in us. But when the sun of inquiry rises, inquiry now is like the sun. When we start inquiring, that ignorance vanishes. Vidyaranya Swamiji, in his Panchadashi, writes very nicely, avichar krito bandha vicharena nivartate. Only by vichar, all this bondage and maya and ignorance and all of them, they go away. By vichar only. So, the appearance of ignorance, first of all, is an appearance, just like the mist or the fog in the morning time. An appearance. And the appearance vanishes when we start inquiring into that appearance. The best example Gurudev is to give is that person who comes in that wedding party, well-dressed, coated, booted, and suited. Indian weddings are very nice things, you know. He comes there so nicely decked off and everything. Now, in Indian, even in Trinidad, the same tradition is still followed today. And Bharat is coming from that side. Boy's side is coming. Like how Bhagwan Sri Ram went all the way from Ayodhya to Janakpur. Tulsidasji describes elaborately. So same thing is followed today also in Trinidad. So from there, that big wedding party comes. And here there's a big wedding party waiting by this girl's house. And two of them come together. Oh, and the drumming and noise and food and drinks and this and that going on, dancing. So many things happen. Among this group now, there's one fellow who is well-dressed nicely. And he comes there and he's having the best drinks and best food and he's walking about everywhere and he's enjoying this wedding party. So, the people on the boy is the side who came with a Bharat, they thought he is from this side. And the people on this side, they thought he came with that Bharat. So that boy's father met that girl's father and he's telling, you are a very distinguished looking gentleman on your side there. And he's looking at him and talking, you know. So this girl's father is saying, our side? I thought he came from? You. So while two of them are talking and looking at this man realized and they figured him out, you know. So they thought, let us go and find out from whose side, where has he come from? Oh, by the time they get there, by that time he's already eaten and all of the nice things and all of them, so it's okay to go also. But anyway, upon inquiry, he vanishes like that. This example is used. Gurudev said, I am just telling in 2 minutes. He used to take, you know. He said, tell that story elaborately, you know. So, the example is used to show this thing called ignorance is an appearance which vanishes upon inquiry. Now, we say that this ignorance is neither existence nor non-existence because you see, it is there. We cannot call it non-existent because it has some effect. It makes people miserable, isn't it? Ignorance makes us miserable.
So some effect is there. So we cannot dispel, I mean, get rid of it altogether because it is there having some effect. And then, upon inquiry, it vanishes. So we say that it doesn't have existence also. So it has existence and non-existence at the same time. That category of thing is called a mithya in Sanskrit. Something which is there and not there at the same time, it is called as mithya. It is there because it causes something. It is not there because upon inquiry it vanishes. So that is the category in which it falls. It survives only by non-discrimination, non-thinking, no vichar. It survives by that only. In this long dream, which we call, see, this universe around us is like a long dream. I was telling you before, no? This waking universe and the dream universe, really we cannot distinguish because the same rules apply. Here in this waking universe, when a tiger is chasing you, run or not? You run before the tiger says Brahmarpanam. In the dream world, when tiger is chasing, there also we run. Same rules apply. So this waking universe caused by this same ignorance which we are just talking. And the dream also is same ignorance. Let us leave it. We'll see it tomorrow. 18 and 10. 5 and 5. 2 lectures we have. It will finish. All right. Several people have asked me to meet with me, but there are many, so I have to see how we'll. And this afternoon I have another lecture before the Bhagavatam. That is from 4 to?
5.
4 to 5.
Youth.
Oh, that is youth. Okay. I am there with the youth. So I'll have to fit in all this. We'll see. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.